are the Borg. Your biological opinions are irrelevant. Your comments are irrelevant. You shall be assimilated into our nutty debates. Resistance is futile.
Hello, Mixed Nut Cases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got a nutty debate, well, maybe, for you today. Today, we're going to be talking about banned books. We just missed Banned Books Week, but we've been wanting to do this for, I don't know, a year or two now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And it's been a while, yes. So with me today, I have my ever-present co-host,
Hi,
Tech.
I'm Tech.
And we've got Jen and Jason from the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Greetings. I was just on recently.
You were just on recently, but this is an episode that Jen and I have been talking about for a long time.
Very.
I think since you reviewed the movie The Giver.
Yes.
I loved that movie. I loved that book. I hated that movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, you hated that movie.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
So there's very little debate, I'm quite sure. I know for the hosts that are here today, but also among the listeners of Nutty Bites, about the idea of banning books and that it's bad. Banning books will never solve anything, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that today. I had hoped to get a librarian on with us, but all of my librarian friends are far too busy gallivanting, having romantic weekends, and presenting to Google this weekend. So instead, you'll just have a bunch of amateurs here.
Was Philippa busy?
Yes, she is. It's her anniversary weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, too bad they're sick this weekend, too.
Oh, that stinks.
Wow.
They can just All put right. some Idris Elba
So on. Let's talk about banning books, you know, and why we hate it. Go ahead, Tech.
Well, you know, there's that old saying that if you forget the lessons of history, we are doomed to repeat them. So even if concepts in books are unpopular or they don't age well, you know, like we were just talking about Mark Twain and the Adventures of Huck Finn, even if there's language and concepts in those books that are challenging to modern readers, it's important to read them in context of the time. Like, people always talk about banning books like Hitler's Mein Kampf. I've never read it. I don't want to read it. The subject matter does not appeal to me, but that doesn't mean that we should prevent it. It's an important book in that, you know, it's about this atrocity, this huge calamity, the Holocaust. This Holocaust, the deaths of millions of people. So why should we just throw this away? We have to remember what happened. We have to remember the hate, the vitriol that spawned this horrible thing, so that we never forget it and never do it again. So yeah, Mein Kampf 1 is a horribly written book, and it's full of horrible things, but that doesn't mean that we should just throw it away.
Agreed.
Very much so. It's funny. I was just listening to a podcast called Dave and Joel's Fast Karate for the Gentleman, and they were talking about how they read a lot of translated Japanese novels. And one of a really big issue in Japan is people coming out of college there aren't really getting humanities degrees. They're not really studying human beings or their people as a whole. And one of the things lost because they're not doing that is their literature. But, you know, you have here in the States and Europe and everything, a lot of people do that. A lot of people just have humanities degrees where they just study, you know, classical language and literature. And that's one of the things that banned books stunts. You can't study us as human beings, or you can't study specific cultures that may not exist anymore if you ban their written text. Because before there was this digital age, all we had was word. And then when we finally got writing, that's when we could pass down stories and knowledge and information. But if you limit that or just completely outright take it away, it's setting humanity back as a whole, not just keeping your personal motivation. It's not supporting your personal motivations.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to bring up is how, and I agree with everything you both have said, the reason why I wanted to get a librarian on is librarians have always been at the forefront of fighting censorship. And a lot of people don't realize this, but librarians back in history have been adamantly saying no to censoring anything, and banning books is censorship. This is directly from the American Library Association policies. Books and other library resources should be provided for the interest, information, and enlightenment of all people of the community the library serves. Materials should not be excluded because of origin, background, or views of those contributing to the creation. Libraries should provide materials and information presenting all points of view on current and historical issues. Materials should not be removed because of partisan or doctrinal disapproval. Libraries should challenge censorship in the fulfillment of their responsibilities to provide information and enlightenment. And I have always been steadfast with this. Every time I've worked with librarians, you know, when they talk about, well, should we have net nannies and programs to block the internet for kids or in schools, and they have always been on the no, it is wrong. Unfortunately, schools have these things, and it's not the librarians putting it in, it's the IT department. But with books and internet, librarians have always said it's against the Library Bill of Rights to prohibit anyone from getting any information. And I think that that's just such a noble cause.
So, you know, if you control thought, if you control language and control literature, you can control thought. The cheapest, easiest, and laziest way to do that is to just outright ban something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know,
a lot of these schools are looking for ways to, you know, a lot of these books and these things that they're censoring, it's because there's hard conversations to be had about them. I mean, who wants to talk to a class of eighth graders about Mein Kampf? Well, we'll make it really easy. We just won't read it. We'll just put it away, and then we don't have to look at it again. So it's the cheapest and easiest and laziest solution that, if I take out all of the books with sex scenes, I don't have to have the sex talk with my kid, and then I don't have angry parents wondering why I'm having a sex talk with kids. So we'll just get rid of all the books with the sex scene in it, and then we'll never have to talk about it again. And it's lazy, is what it is. That's tough.
Uncle Tom's Cabin was one when I was in high school that our teacher asked us if we wanted to read, and when we all agreed to it after she explained what the book was about, the principal, who just happened to be that teacher's husband, said, yeah, we are not allowed to do that book. And even though we had discussed it, we knew what was going to be happening, we knew, you know, why it wasn't allowed in most schools, and unfortunately it wasn't allowed in our school.
Uncle Tom's Cabin. That, like, how can that be? It boggles my mind. How can that be banned? Because that is a piece of American history. That's something you should be reading in social studies.
Well, exactly.
Well, also on that, also on the banned list, and a lot of places currently, is Animal Farm. And Animal Farm is a wonderful treatise. It's a wonderful analogy. And, you know, on going off of what Tech said, you know, if you can control word and you can control language, you can control what people read, you can control the people. And one of the ways any invading or, you know, any military has done this in the past, where they will drop leaflets.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're thinking, well, people aren't going to care about what falls from the sky, but they do. And, you know, you keep dropping those and they keep reading them and reading them. Eventually, they will start going, well, I don't know. These guys
kind of have a point. And especially when the information that they're receiving is so heavily controlled that they don't have access to anything else. Just getting other viewpoints is subversive.
Again, I point back to Japan and its exclusionism. Like, they, at one point, outlawed anything from outside of Japan. Completely, in total.
For hundreds of years.
Yeah. And so living in a vacuum, it's terrible. Like, you can't, there is no, you know, we don't, of course we don't like, you know, oppressive influence where it completely obliterates a culture. But cultures do learn and grow from one another. And if you exclude yourself from the rest of the world, you will basically, once you come out of it, it's going to be some major cultural shock.
Like Japan. Go ahead.
The time I spent in Afghanistan, you know, a country with a 70% illiteracy rate, the people who could read were the people in power. Mm-hmm. And when something like that happens, they could hold up any book and just look at the crowd and say, this book tells us that we hate Americans and we have to blow them up. Well, it didn't really say that. But if nobody else can read and nobody else has access to literature, you know, I've said it since my first tour there in 2003, we can't win that war with bombs. We need to win that war with books. Literacy is the key. If you have people that have the freedom to pick up any book, crack the spine, and read what's in it, and make up their own minds as to what's going on, you'll see this oppression and these conflicts go away, because the people aren't being snowed into thinking that, you know, into thinking whatever the person in power wants them to think. It's like, well, you know, the guy told me that this book says I have to kill Americans, but, you know, the more I read it, the more it doesn't say that. So I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And I really think that literacy is the key. Banning books is stupid, and we can win that war and many other wars. You know, I'm a weapons tech. I fix guns for a living for the Army, and here I am talking myself out of a job. Really, good. We can win wars with books, not guns.
Well, no, you're.
I'm sorry. I just need to commend you when you said we're not going to win this war with bombs. We're going to win it with books. Like, I'm starting to tear up here because I really believe that.
Well, no, that
I really believe that.
He's absolutely right. Because when I, as a cook in the Army, when I was in Afghanistan, we had local nationals that worked with us in the kitchen. They were our KPs. And one day I got a frog mask. So I was like, sorry. I was like, I wonder. So we got a book, and it was one of our cookbooks, and we showed one of our KPs a picture of a pig. And as we all know, they do not eat pork. It's against their religion. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what a pig was. They had no clue. None whatsoever. And I was absolutely astonished. And I guess it was cultural shock for me because come with this culture, and there are highly intelligent people there. Like, most of our translators are super smart, absolutely brilliant people. But they are, like, far few in between because the rest of the country, for the most part, can't read. So they can't educate themselves on things. Like, yeah, they understand that they can't eat these certain things, and they may recognize the word when spoken to them, but as for actually reading it and seeing and knowing what something is, no, they have no clue. And it was absolutely... And you know, for military guys, we have to let guys know, like, say, if they're Muslim or something, or Islam, they can't, you know, it's because they can't eat pork, and we have to let them know. We just generally post signs for our guys. We'll just put, hey, this has pork in it, and they'll just leave it be. We couldn't do that for them. When the local nationals came in, we had to tell them because they couldn't read it. They couldn't even if we wrote it in their native language, they couldn't read it.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, and I just want to clarify, you know, being illiterate doesn't make you less intelligent. It just means that you have less access to information.
And
that's the thing. There's so many people out there that are truly intelligent, but aren't allowed to. And how many countries are there that people aren't allowed to read, that it is illegal? Women aren't allowed to learn to read. And that's just horrible. But we are talking about banned books, and I want to go around and talk about all of our experiences
by banning a
with
book,
books being banned.
By banning a book, is it not making it a form of illiteracy? By not being able to read, you can't read this book. Is that not a different form of illiteracy?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%.
So it's a step backwards.
There are some countries and there are some peoples that you're only allowed to read one book. There are entire schools devoted to teaching, and you will spend your entire life reading one book.
And it's your religious text.
Yeah, and it's a religious text, and you'll never know. And imagine if the only book you were ever allowed to read was the Bible, and one specific version of the Bible, and never anything else. How would that shape your worldview and your you know, your width and breadth of information if you didn't have anything else? It would make you a very narrow person.
Your world is going to be a square.
Study of that text, but you know, nothing else.
Yeah. Your world is going to be a square, and you don't know that there's technically no boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about all the experiences that we've had with banned books. Jen, you were talking about how Uncle Tom's Cabin was banned in your school. So, and you went to school in Alaska, right?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you tell us a little bit about the different experiences and how much have you run into that where a book is just banned?
Well, see, I grew up in Cake, and when I was there was about maybe 550 people, with a total of 50 people in the high school and just under 100 people in the elementary school. So you wouldn't really think that books, where we really didn't have a very large library as Diaz, would be a problem to get. But when our English teacher... We were in 11th grade. Her son was in my class. Her husband was the principal. She said, this is a book that I believe everybody should read. I was white, growing up in a native town. I knew what prejudice was. I knew what racism was, of course. And so something like this, I mean, we all knew, you know, we had all felt racism at one time. So when she suggested we read Uncle Tom's Cabin for a project in school, it wasn't seen as a big deal. Mind you, we did not have many black people in town. We literally had one. And so it was supposed to be a different view for us. And we were told we were not allowed to read it in school. So our teacher still had ended up ordering the books with her own personal money, and right after school was like, if you want to read this book, here it is. It was not done on school time. It was done on personal time because she felt that it was stupid to ban something that would educate you on what used to happen, what still happens today, maybe not as horribly, but it was just something she felt everybody needed to hear, needed to read, needed to, you know, experience.
Absolutely. And that's awesome. I love that she did that. That's a hero.
The teacher's amazing.
So, Jason, did you run into books being banned growing up?
No. See, it was a little weird for me because in Virginia, I think it's a nationwide program, but we had magnet schools. And mm-hmm. One of the things that I had been in magnet schools all of my early schooling, and one of the cool
Why did that not surprise me?
And one of the things they did in my elementary school was they had a thing called the Reading Olympics, and it was probably the most competitive thing nerds could do at the time, which was basically play Jeopardy after you read a list of books. And it was just questions about the books, and we had a plethora of books on there. We had, of course, we had Rolling Thunder, Hear My Cry. Of course, we had, the one that they just made the sequel to,
To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird,
which is a banned book.
We had, yes. We had To Kill a Mockingbird. We had, God, we had so many, just a plethora, and none of them were the things of the time. You know, there was no R.L. Stein. There was no K.A. Applegate's Animorphs. None of that stuff. This was all, you know, War of the Worlds. This was all stuff like that. And classics. And we had a ball. Well, the school didn't ban books. They just kind of stopped doing the Reading Olympics. So it wasn't that they stopped us from reading. They just didn't give us...
They didn't encourage it.
Exactly. Yeah. They stopped encouraging the reading. And then, more or less, the reading in our actual classes just kind of became either what was in the book, or they were just like, well, you'll read it in high school. I heard that a lot. Heard that a whole lot, actually.
And let me guess, you didn't read half the books in high school?
No, I think... Honestly, I read no books in class in high school. We had book reports, so we could choose and write whatever we wanted. But we never had an actual text that we had to read in school other than the book. Now, don't get me wrong. In the book, we had some classics. You know, we read a lot of plays and a lot of long form, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But there was never a time where they sat down in front of us and said, "Okay, here's the Canterbury Tales," or "Here's here's Huck Finn. Let's read that."
Yeah.
Like, they never did that. Even though this was a magnet school, my high school was a magnet school. Like, matter of fact, this school was a hub for the International Baccalaureate Program and the Governor School for the State of Virginia. And at the time was ranked as one of the highest high schools in the state. And they didn't have a reading list for it, like their English classes.
That's insane. So, Tech, did you run into this at any point?
I did. I remember it must have been my grade 11 or grade 12 year. We had to read this one book from a list of books and then write a report on it at the end. And I could not connect with any of the books on the list. There was nothing appealing. There was nothing for me to slog through 300 pages. And I went back to my English teacher and, you know, God bless her, Linda Payne. She was a wonderful lady and a wonderful English teacher. That there's nothing in here for me. I can't read any of these books. What can you do? And she says, "Well, we have a book here that the school board won't let us teach anymore, and it's not in the curriculum, but I'm going to let you read it. I'm warning you now, it's the hardest book you'll ever read, but if you make it to page 30, you'll finish the book." And she handed me a copy of A Clockwork Orange.
Very good book.
And she was right. It was the hardest book I've ever read, because it's not in English. It's in this made-up, like, futuristic teenager slang.
It's written in Droog.
Yeah, it's written in Droog, and it's written, you know, as the character's memoirs. It was wonderful. It was eye-opening. It was shocking. It was scary. It was a horrifying book, which they don't want to teach. They don't want kids learning it in the school board I was in, because, well, it deals with rape and it deals with violence and it's murder and, you know, these horrible crimes that happen. Well, guess what? I read the book. I'm not a rapist. So, you know, I haven't murdered anybody. So the fears are unjustified. I loved the book as much as it scared me, and I wrote a pretty decent report because this one English teacher decided to skirt the rules and let me read it myself. And another example, banning books. When I was in elementary school, they banned the books of Roald Dahl. And we were no longer allowed to read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and you guys are going to love the reason for this. Because Roald Dahl commits ageism and treats Charlie's grandparents, you know, they're in bed. Well, that old people are not infirm, bedridden people, and that Roald Dahl negatively stereotypes old people, so we can't have this in schools, and they stopped teaching his books.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. How ridiculous is that?
Yes, they are. Yes, it's ageism when at one point this dude is floating around.
But the fact that you could have, you know, you could stop that entire argument by having a 10-minute discussion with the class of, okay, well, you know, the grandparents in this are portrayed as, you know, being sickly and bedridden. Well, maybe that's because of the times and the world that he's trying to write. And let's talk about diseases like polio and dysentery and all of these things that were affecting big cities at the time. And do we know any people that are like this? Are old people different than how they're portrayed in the books? How are they different? Oh, so why is it important that they look like this in the book? There, I just asked three questions, and I've gone through the entire discussion that you could have with the class. But you know what? It's a lot simpler and lazier. We'll just not teach the book.
Well, yeah. The book also portrays these grandparents that were technically bedridden are up and moving around again with life reinstilled in them. So, I mean, wouldn't that show that, hey, they may be older and it may seem like they can't do a lot, but they can do stuff.
Old people diseases with candy. lessons I've learned from that book.
You know, it's one I've noticed a common thread here, and it's teachers. And it's a real flip of the coin whether or not a teacher's a good teacher, or they're just kind of going through the motions and doing what they're obligated to. And I think it's a real problem, and it's a really bad problem, because I think there's a divide. Whereas, you know, I think when we all were younger, our parents kind of had a far closer relationship with our teachers. Whereas now, it's almost as if teachers have become that babysitter during the early parts of the day while parents are either working or trying to get things taken care of for when the kids come home. And I think teachers are having a problem with that. Although I do know teachers who embrace that, because I think they feel that they can, if you're trusting them to take care of your children for this amount of time, then they're going to enlighten them and show them things and help them, you know, usher them into world experiences. And I think that one way to do that is through books. Like, I won't lie, I had a plethora of amazing teachers. Mind you, most of them have been my humanities or liberal arts teachers, my band teacher, my English teacher, or should not English, but my actual literature teacher. All of those people were amazing, absolutely amazing. But I don't see that now. Like, my nephews, and they go to school, and I never hear them talk about anything amazing that their teacher did, or anything that they amazing that their teacher had them read.
Mm. Well, there's this fine line that teachers have to tread. They have to constantly be covering their own butts because parents are ready to lynch them. Oh my God, my kid came home and told me this thing, and teachers are so scared of what's going to happen, and especially now with your salaries and whether or not you're kept on as a teacher being dependent on standardized tests and all of these other things. There's a lot of stresses that teachers are dealing with.
That's probably.
Having worked in the schools, I will tell you that about 75% of the teachers out there are really passionate and really care about their students. And there's 25, not so much, but that you're going to find that in any industry where somebody is in the right field and some people are just not, they just don't fit. I think that there's a lot of teachers out there that definitely go out of their way to really influence kids, and sometimes the kids notice it and sometimes they don't. I love telling this story, but so often your best teacher, when you were in school, you hated them. And for me, that teacher, she changed my life. And when I first, you know, met her and was in a couple of her classes, I just thought, wow, she's just mean. She's very strict. But she shaped me. She formed me. She treated me like an adult. You know, Tech, we've talked about this. One of your bosses, who was also a teacher and a mentor, you couldn't stand him when he was training you.
Yeah, when he was when he was my supervisor on my apprenticeship, he was an absolute monster and a tyrant, and he would give me this crazy homework and these stupid tests, and I absolutely hated it. And it wasn't until 10 years later that we were sitting around having a beer, and we realized that all of the success that we've been able to have in our professional careers was because of the lessons that we had to learn the hard way with this tyrant. And I had to send him a message and say thank you. Like, we hated him. I still kind of do, because he's a jerk, but he's a great teacher.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, so often when you're in school, like, I'm sure these teachers that I look back and think, wow, they were really great, I didn't like them when I was in school. But afterwards, and as an adult, I can look back and go, they were pretty awesome. Yes.
What's your experience with the banned book?
All right. So my experience with banned books is different from everyone else here, it seems. I was very lucky. I grew up in a school district that embraced banned books. We never had anything banned. As a matter of fact, our librarians every year in every school had the banned books on display. Books have been banned in other schools. Come and check them out and see why. See what's naughty, you know. Check out these books that other students aren't allowed to read. And we celebrated it, and we talked about why banning books was bad and all of this other stuff. And it was never, I never ran into an issue of you can't check that book out. My local library did not have a children's, I mean, it had a children's section, but there was never a restricted section. There was never anything that I had to show ID to get into. It's another thing that librarians believe. They believe that the library should not impede access based on age. That should be a parent's thing. But there was no difference between an adult library card and a child's library card. So I was super, super fortunate. And I think that's pretty much how everyone should be. But I grew up with serious respect because once I started to get older and realized other people ran into situations like you guys have discussed that, you know, these are foundational books. I mean, Uncle Tom's Cabin not being taught is just mind-blowing. And for us, our assigned reading, a lot of those books have been banned in other schools. I know why The Caged Bird Sings, Black Boy, wonderful. Like all of these things, Huckleberry Finn, all of these things banned out and out all over the place. And now I want to talk a little bit about the actual banned books themselves. And I want to start with Huckleberry Finn because, Jason, you told me a Huckleberry Finn has a particular distinction.
Oh, yes. It's sitting on top of the pile. And yeah. It's funny because, matter of fact, we were driving to go pick up my check yesterday, right? And I was like, hey, Jim's like, yeah, I was doing some research. And she's like, she read me this snippet out of off this article about how Huck Finn is one of the, if not the highest challenged or banned book, and mainly for one reason and one reason only. Huck Finn's, well, he's basically his best friend in the book, N-word Jim. And I was laughing. I was like, because, and they were saying that the book instills racism and endorses it and all this other stuff. And I'm like, did they never read it? I was like, one of the things that Huck Finn just can't wrap his brain around is why people have a problem with his boy Jim. Like, it's a common thread in this whole thing. And the best part is that Jim tries to explain it to him. Jim tries to tell him, like, hey, man, everybody's not like you. Matter of fact, the majority of people where we hang out aren't like you. And he, one thing Jim never really says that's wrong. In fact, he's just like, some people just believe differently than you. Mm-hmm. And Huck Finn, of course, is just like, I don't understand why. I just don't get it. Like that's stupid to me. But yet people banned it just, I think, more or less just because of the name. And my thing is, you got to think about when this guy was writing this book.
Well, and what he was writing it about, because honestly, that's a word that was used in slave times. I mean, look, how many times was that word used in Django Unchained? How many times was that word used in 12 Years a Slave? These are modern tellings of slave times. It's still, you're going to use a word from those times. And, you know, that's a book that we talk about a lot when we talk about should the word be used. And because of the fact that we all agree that we're calling it the N-word, we all know what the answer is. But
if this was my podcast, I'd say it.
Yes, if it was your podcast, you'd say it. But that's the thing. So many times there's an episode of The Boondocks about this. There was an episode of, there's this new sitcom out there. I'm not sure I like it, but I did watch this one episode. It's called Blackish. It's got Lawrence Fishburne in it, and they were all talking about whether or not you can use the N-word. And so we use Huckleberry Finn as one of those. There's actually been a publisher that has published Huckleberry Finn where they replaced the N-word with slave.
Are you serious?
Slave Jim, yeah. And the reason for this is so that teachers feel comfortable. And I have known many teachers that will swear up and down, no, you have to have the original text. You have to have the original text. That being said, you know, a teacher has said to me, you know, I was teaching in Harlem. You know, I'm white. All of my students are not white. I felt uncomfortable, but I should feel uncomfortable. And I pushed through with the lesson. While yes, using the word slave might make me feel more comfortable, that's not going to teach a lesson. And that's not going to get the students to understand. And this is why we don't ban. This is why we don't censor. This is why we don't change it to slave.
I'm sorry, but I think that the use of the word slave makes me more uncomfortable than the use of the N-word. Just yeah. for the simple fact that was a time in our history that we shouldn't necessarily forget, but we're condoning it.
Exactly.
By using that word. Like,
and by replacing the N-word with slave, you're bringing so much attention to the fact that you've changed a word in a book.
Exactly. Because like, nobody's going to walk around and call their slave slave. I mean, really. Like, I mean, and just this week, I read a news story about a history textbook in, I think it was Texas. The mom's reading through it, and she realizes, hang on, they're including the slave trade as part of the immigration to America. I'm sorry, we were immigrants? I don't think so.
Wow. Oh, Texas.
They brought workers. They called them workers, not slaves. Never once did they mention slaves.
Hey, but we've all noticed something like this, and I've just been reading about this recently. That whenever we talk about the English traders, like the tea companies and all that, the trading companies that were going to Asia for spices.
Spices.
Yeah, no, it's not spice. It's drugs, okay? Yeah. It was opium. It was a massive opium trade. But
hey.
No, they were spices.
Hey. It was called laudanum, technically. they didn't put that name out there because people at the time knew about the poppy. They knew about opium. They knew what that was. So they said it was for medicinal purposes, and it's now called laudanum.
So that whole thing, like, it boggles my mind. And the fact that, and I'm sure the reason that Huckleberry Finn gets banned is because of that word. Oh, and absolutely. Because people are uncomfortable with our history. But if we change how we view history, then we can't deal with what's going on now. Like, there are so many people out there who are like, oh, you guys just have a chip on your shoulder and just get over it. Yeah, well, you're also saying that my ancestors weren't slaves. So, no. How can I expect to be treated like a person if you ignore history?
Yeah, and you know, if you do this for long enough, it changes history. It may not be the truth of history, but it changes history because, yes, history's memory is very long if it's written down.
We've seen how history can be changed. I mean, let's just talk about the Civil War. What is it called in the South versus what is it called in the North?
Exactly.
What is the American Revolution called in America versus what is it called in England?
It was a joke, but it was, what do they call the Civil War in England? The colonial dust up.
Yeah, and I think in England they just said it was their children being a bunch of brats, actually.
So there you go. So what are some other banned books that we absolutely love and maybe are surprised were banned?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
I can't understand why that'd be banned. That's a wonderful book.
I thought so, too. It was totally in my high school curriculum. Well, we read it as a class.
Mine too.
Well, yeah, obviously, mine too. They don't want strong female characters or a savior black man. Just saying. They don't want it, it's a trend, right? In literature, it started out damsel in distress, knight in shining armor. Then you get things that are kind of out of the ordinary. To Kill a Mockingbird, highly intelligent female character in that, very independent. In fact, one of the things that she's known for in the book is being kind of a rascal, kind of being, you know, out there, like, and going against her father's wishes. Kind of gets her in a little bit of trouble. Same thing in Rolling Thunder, Hear My Cry. The females in those books, very independent, very vocal in their opinions. Kind of gets them in a little bit of trouble. But they're good characters.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. They're wonderful characters. And I think when you have very independent, outspoken characters, again, it makes people uncomfortable, especially with the status quo at the time.
I'm going through this list of banned books here, And I'll tell you, the one that annoys me that it's on this list is Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How could you ban that book? Now, yeah, I can't remember what the reason is. Nutty, what was the reason they banned it?
There's a couple of different reasons for different schools. One of them was that it portrayed America's actions during World War
II
in a less than positive light.
Right, yeah. The firebombing of Dresden, where the Allies killed 65,000 civilians in a night. Yeah, I can see why we don't want to talk about it, but it's an important piece of history that we shouldn't forget, because we made a mistake and a lot of people perished. And you know, it's easy for us to look at World War II and think of it that we're the superheroes and that the Germans, the Nazis, were supervillains, and we won, hooray America and hooray Western world. But
well, and in addition to that, the idea of and there may be some spoilers for the plots in some of these books. We do apologize. But the idea that the main character was a spy for the U.S. and that the U.S. was doing
different book.
Underhanded things. Slaughterhouse Five? Isn't that the one where? No, I'm thinking of Mother Night.
Mother
sorry.
Night. Okay. No.
Sorry about that.
Right. So no.
No. Billy Pilgrim. Sorry.
Slaughterhouse Five. Also, if people here haven't read it, it is the most beautiful description of what PTSD does to you. And if you look at a veteran and you're not quite sure what's going through his head as he's reliving these old moments, read Slaughterhouse Five a couple of times. Written by a veteran who was at Dresden, who did witness these things, and he's writing this book as you know, trying to cope with what's happening in his mind, about a character who's trying to cope with what's going on in his mind as he's skipping through time. It is a wonderful book, one that should be taught. I keep telling all my troops that it's right next to Starship Troopers. It's one of those important books that all soldiers need to read.
Another reason, sorry, I didn't remember. Another reason it was banned was the nudity and sexuality.
Oh,
but again, it's written form. It's not like you're seeing breasts or anything. It's so these characters are being held by aliens in a cage, and they're not given clothes because they're being treated like animals. They're in a zoo. Mm. it's perfectly plausible. One of the ones that really baffled me was The Tao of Poop.
I do not understand why that was banned, to be honest. It was... I read that. Me and a classmate both read that.
Isn't and it wonderful?
It was. It was a little harder for me to read, just because I did have to go over a few of the pages twice. But there was no reason at all for that to not be in a school library. I'm sorry.
I found on this list of banned books on the same topic, there was a book of Buddhist poetry written by the Dalai Lama that had been banned from a school board because the reason was, quote, the book was written in such a way that it may make the children want to experiment with Buddhism. Oh no, okay. Not Buddhism.
Yes. Yeah. Don't be a pacifist.
Yeah, that these people believed that Buddhism would make their children not Christian, not understanding that it's more of a philosophy than a religion. Yes, there is a Buddhist religion as well, but, you know, that you can be Christian and Buddhist at the same time just did not make sense to them at all.
Yeah, and I was sitting here and I was looking through the list, and one of the ones that, again, we brought it up yesterday, you brought it up on the list, Jen, was... Okay, where is it? I can get the title correct. It is the... Hold on. Darn it, I'm slow.
Well, he's looking for that.
I know, right.
There's actually a couple of really simple books that have been challenged but retained, both in Canada, actually. One was Hop on Pop by Dr. Seuss.
Oh, yeah!
What?
Because it encourages children to use violence against their fathers. The patron that voiced their concern requested that the library apologize to local fathers, pay damages resulting from the book's message.
What?
Another one is another Dr. Seuss book. Again in Canada, If I Ran the Zoo. It was challenged but retained at the Vancouver, Canada Public Library in 2014 despite a line in the poem about helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant, accompanied by illustrations that are racial stereotypes of Asians. The book is often credited with the first printed modern English use of the word term, or nerd, in a sentence. The library will no longer read it at story time or promote it, other than as resource material and a study of how the portrayal of other cultures have changed over time.
Yes, because Dr. Seuss is a rebel and a racist.
Obviously.
Well, you know, he did have some pretty racist propaganda cartoons, but that was done for the war effort.
Indeed. Oh, man.
Here's one. Where's Waldo?
Wait, what?
What?
Banned Where's Waldo?
They banned Where's Waldo.
Wait, they banned
no, you know what that was? That was a hateful committee member who couldn't find Waldo.
A handful of people say that the otherwise innocent images contain inappropriate and CDS hidden imagery, including topless sunbathers, gay lovers, characters holding up the rocker hand sign, or as they call it, the Hail Satan, and a melody of other hysterical claims.
There was clowns. Somebody got scared.
Yes, because Waldo, a character who never speaks.
Exactly. How is that a banned book? There's no literature.
It's a picture book. It's not even got words. Oh, man. But no, I found...
You know, Winnie the Pooh itself has also been banned.
Yeah.
Was that not for the Dow, was that for the portrayal of mental illnesses?
I'm looking it up right now.
I believe Jason found his book.
At number 22 on the American Library Association's 100 Most Banned Books Classics list. Yes, read that correctly. Number 22.
Wow.
22 is a good one.
Where's the reason? Well, the Muslims... ban it because of Piglet, along with the Three Little Pigs and Charlotte's Web and things of that nature.
But you know, Piglet was the first honey roasted ham because he spilled Pooh's honey.
No, that's horrible. Don't
he spilled
that.
Pooh's honey.
But a school district in Napa, California, even went so far as to ban clothing of the characters in sport of an overly strict dress code. There have been people talking about the fact that the characters don't wear clothes or wear half clothes. They call it immoral.
They do realize that this story takes place in the imagination of a lonely
kid. They do realize that these are animals.
They're not even animals. They're stuffed animals. They're stuffed animals.
But they're still animals.
Russia's Justice Ministry placed it... unbanned material and labeled it pro-Nazi because of the depiction of Winnie the Pooh wearing a swastika was discovered among the personal possessions of a known political extremist. So nothing having to do with the book, somebody took Winnie the Pooh and put a swastika on it. We ban the book now.
So I'm pretty sure this school just hates Warner Brothers because Bugs Bunny is a nudist. Like they must hate this bunny. Like,
Bugs Bunny is a crossdresser.
Bugs Bunny is a crossdresser, so is Daffy Duck.
Yep.
But no, I found it. It was the perks of being a wallflower. I read this when I was younger. I can't remember if it was middle school or high school. Wonderful book, absolutely wonderful. And the reasons why they banned it was drugs/alcohol and smoking. Mind you, I don't know, can one of you guys name a teenager who might not have a friend or know of someone who has attempted this in their youth growing up?
I don't know anyone who would ever do anything like that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. homosexuality, offensive language, man. I've never heard a teenager say something wrong like that. They would never say such words.
They're all good kids. They never learn those words unless they read it in a book.
Never, exactly. Sexually explicit, unsuited for the age group. I think it was perfectly suited for the age group, seeing as I'm pretty sure everything faced in that book, there's teenagers dealing with it right now. And last but not least, additional reasons are date rape and masturbation.
Which, again, these are topics that are upsetting, but it's supposed to be used as a teaching point. It's supposed to be used... I mean, you don't read these books and think, oh, this is how I can date rape someone. No, you read these books and go, wow, that's a horrible thing that happened to this character.
Yeah, it's like... you know, it's like, again, this, I think this really has to do with how people in charge are very uncomfortable with the questions posed by people when they read these things. Because if a young child who doesn't know of, you know, date rape and those type of things, you know, say if it's a very naive 12 or 13 year old, right? And they go to their parent and they say, hey, mommy, what's this? Or, hey, daddy, what's this? Then they start looking at each other like, oh, boy. You shouldn't read that.
Yeah, I'm not ready for this conversation.
Yeah, instead of just fessing up and handling the conversation.
Right. So here's some more banned books. The Bible.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, obviously.
Well, yeah. Obviously, Jesus was a superpowered zombie, so.
Obviously, yes. Yeah. Twilight.
Yeah.
I agree with that one.
Lord of the Flies, which, again, this is another one that makes me laugh because that was part of our curriculum. Oh,
Lord of the Flies was fantastic. That was on the, I remember that was on the Reading Olympics in the advanced little section, because they had it split up between, you know, like, you know, from like K through like third grade, and then it would go from third grade to, and that was on one of the more advanced lists, and it was great. That was great.
Lord of the Flies is one of those. It's one of those books that, just like we've been saying this whole time, that makes you ask hard questions that don't have easy answers.
Exactly.
Animal Farm,
which is why it's such a good book to go through in class. Fahrenheit 451.
Read that in high school.
You read that in high school?
Read that in high school.
Awesome. 1984. Of Mice and Men. That was another curriculum book for us.
Wonderful book.
Yep.
That was on the Reading Olympics.
James and the Giant Peach. That surprises me.
Does that one give a reason?
This list that I have don't have actual reasons.
No, but that's part of the whole banning of Roald Dahl.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Man, James and the Giant Peach.
I read all of his books in grade school.
Dude, James and the Giant Peach, fantastic stuff. See, you know, and it makes me wonder, like, it. You know, this topic, because it makes me wonder, what's going to happen to all these folks who are banning these books and are upset against these books, and the kids get older and they realize that this is kind of dumb, and then those kids get put in charge and they're like, you know what? I want my high schoolers to read Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah,
I want my high school, like, you know, what if a principal's like, you know what, guys? Animal Farm. Every English class has got to read it. We're going to read about some pigs getting murdered. We're going to read about some animals getting slaughtered.
So I got the reasons, by the way.
I do too.
It's James and the Giant Peach has been banned for being too scary for the targeted age group. Mysticism, sexual inferences. I don't remember that part. Profanity, racism, references to tobacco and alcohol, and claims that it promotes disobedience, drugs, and communism.
The sexual references is actually because a Wisconsin town made a reference to the spider licking her lips could be taken in two ways, including sexual. Other challenges involve repeated use of the word ass, which resulted in a 1991 challenge in Altoona, Wisconsin. A woman in Florida took issue with Grasshopper's statement, "I'd rather be fried alive and eaten by a Mexican," as well as references to snuff, tobacco, and whiskey.
Wow.
You just
talk about not knowing your cultures. Yeah. I mean, grasshoppers is still a main diet statement in
a lot of the world.
A lot of the world, yeah.
I don't.
Bear Grylls would disagree. He would love to eat a grasshopper.
Yeah, wash it down with his own pee.
Yep. Hey,
I just. This conversation is making me angry.
It makes your head hurt, right? Like. Because here's the deal. I'm pretty sure the people banning these books read them as a youth.
And were offended. Oh my goodness. The spider licked its lips. Oh, I must clutch my pearls.
First off, they should probably be questioning why they're offended by that. There's only one of two reasons. One, they're afraid of spiders. Or two, they're aroused by spiders. A humanoid. Animalistic spiders. So they might want to question why they're offended by that material. Just saying.
We can't have any references to drugs or alcohol.
Alright, well, we're going to sneak off after class and go smoke behind the gym. We'll see you later.
Absolutely, yeah. Won't someone please think of the children? It's all part of this trend towards... well, you guys have all heard of helicopter parents? that hover over their children and protect everything that they're exposed to. I heard of another one that's even better, and I've witnessed parents that do this, what they call bulldozer parents, that remove all obstacles in front of their kids because I have to do everything for my kids. I'll do anything for my kids. These are the type of parents that go to their kids' job interviews.
You know what? But these are also the same parents who want to protect their kid from everything but won't get him vaccinated.
Oh, all right, that's a different topic, though. Oh, man.
Boy,
but, yeah, there's so many really good books that have been banned, and I recommend people read them. More on this list, by the way, Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that was because of the psychedelic references.
Yes,
Pride and Prejudice. I mean, I'm sorry, that book is so boring. What could you possibly ban?
maybe the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, I could understand.
That was fun.
One that I saw on the list here as well was Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By the way, it's not as hot as you think it is. It's just boring and pathetic.
You know, there's a lot, dude, there's a... I would love to know if Moby Dick has ever been banned.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Because that book is as boring as... oh, my God. It's like watching paint dry.
I read that book in the third grade.
Dude, that was... I've had some struggles reading through books. Moby Dick is the one book I could not surmount. It was awful. And I'm not saying...
And yet you can read Hard Science.
I can read hard sci-fi any day of the week, but my God, was it boring. Whew. Like, and I tried so hard. I even forced myself to try to write a book report on this book to make me read it all. And I got halfway through to the part where it stops, where the book literally stops, and it just becomes this pamphlet on how to slaughter a whale.
It was banned in Texas, because it conflicted with their community values.
Oh, Texas. What? Because you guys are mostly landlocked, you didn't think whales existed? So you're like, oh, God, that imaginary creatures. Ban this book. Well, we can't shoot it, so we're banning this book.
You could totally shoot it. I've got pictures. They just killed a whale up in closer to Barrow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but
where
you
the wild things are have been banned.
They can kiss my
frittata.
That book.
Thanks, Jen. Now I gotta edit.
See, mine was quick and kind of low. Like,
well, you know, books have been banned for less.
By the way, Giver, since it was referenced earlier that The Giver was on the banned books list, why was The Giver banned? More ageism?
It was probably banned.
Euthanasia?
No, he was given sexual references in there after he stopped taking his pills.
Man, that book...
I really don't know much past that, though.
My thing is, I would say when he comes off his pills, he starts hitting puberty hard. Like, I'm pretty sure that's really all it was. So, are they trying to say teenagers shouldn't go through puberty? Because I don't think he can stop that.
The most... in the late 90s, some of the most common objections were over violent and sexual scenes, infanticide, euthanasia, and sexual awakening.
Sexual awakening.
So, puberty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand the infant death one. Like, that was a bit rough for me, but, I mean...
I watched two babies die last night.
Oh, and in 2001, it was banned for violence and occult themes.
Occult? Now, as in, like... supernatural stuff or like a cult? Like
a cult as in like an entire group cult that agreed to do one thing.
Stuff. No, she said supernatural stuff.
Not a cult. OCCULT. A cult.
Yeah. They're using magic.
There's no magic in there.
No,
it's science.
The top 10 challenges of 2013 include Captain Underpants.
Yes.
Because they use the word underpants?
For offensive language, so there yes. The Hunger Games for having a religious viewpoint.
Wait, what?
Apparently.
There was religion in that book? I thought that was one of the things that was banned in the dystopian society set forth in that book. I thought organized religion was banned.
Yeah, but there you go reading one of these books. You're supposed to ban them without reading them.
Oh, right. Oh,
okay, yes. Ignorance is bliss, right?
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Mm-hmm. Dude, again,
well, we discussed that
which
one.
That they made that a movie. Yep. So now I kind of want to know how the book compares to the movie now.
Kite Runner. It's a movie.
Kite Runner is a movie. No Fault in Our Stars. Yeah, that's a banned book.
Well, yeah, matter of fact, she read the reasons for that one to me, and she said it was because the situations depicted the characters were going through. So basically, the kids dealing with the fact that they both had cancer and were dying was too it's
yeah
too
because
much.
There was a reference to cancer. It was one of the reasons it was banned.
It's too much.
Oh lordy.
There's no-
So the Call of the Wild has been banned.
Yeah, that was for like
for
violence,
age inappropriateness. But my favorite is that it was burned in bonfires in Nazi Germany because it was considered too radical. If you've actually read The Call of the Wild, it's not radical at all.
No. I think one of the reasons also was suggested bestiality.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're dogs.
Yeah.
It's not bestiality if they're two dogs.
The Color Purple was challenged for for offensive language.
That one does make sense.
Yeah. Not that it should be, but it makes sense because there's a lot of extreme imagery in that.
Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee is another banned book also.
Yeah, I could see that one actually.
I could too, but it's still
it shouldn't be. None of these
exactly.
should be. I think you all agree on that.
Well, no, tell them about that one that we came across. The Tale of is it the Half Native American or whatever?
Oh, you're talking about True Diary of a Part-Time Indian.
Yes.
It was a full-blooded Indian that went to a white school.
Wait, yes. Say that again?
It was an Indian that went to a white school.
Yeah, he was like
and
half...
And that's why it was banned?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was half Native American, half white, and they basically banned the book because he was basically describing all the injustices put upon him, not only by white people, but by Native Americans, because he wasn't... completely one or the other.
White school,
one of the reasons that they list here for that book is that it has depictions of bullying.
There's a couple
in a Lexi movie right. A book rather
right. so it had depictions of bullying. Did those depictions make you feel uncomfortable? Yeah, let's talk about that for a bit. Bullying is supposed to make you feel uncomfortable.
It That's made somebody feel guilty because they were bullying somebody else in elementary school.
Yeah, see, I was, I was actually wondering if The Bridge to Terabithia had ever been banned. And in 2002, two residents of Cromwell, Connecticut, wanted the book banned from middle school classrooms because they claimed that it promoted witchcraft and violence. They filed a petition demanding that the school's officials remove the book, along with The Witch of Blackbird Pond by Elizabeth George Spears, for similar reasons.
As Naomi Chomsky said during a 1992 BBC interview, if we don't believe in freedom of expression for people we despise, we don't believe in it at all.
Absolutely. What's that old quote of, I never remember it correctly, of the same lines that I don't agree with what you say, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say it.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. The Great Gatsby, another part of my curriculum, was banned because of booze influence, decadent lifestyle of the East Hampton socialites. It might be considered too appealing to the readers.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Like the ending of that book makes me want to go out and do what he did. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't think these people have read these books. Because here's the deal. Don't get me wrong. Mr. Gatsby had a little bit of fun in the middle chunk of that book. Didn't turn out too well. Not getting in elbow deep to the mob and dying.
Spoilers.
My goodness. I want to live the life of a rum runner. Like, that's what I want to do. This book has taught me the ways of greatness.
So these are just some of the banned books. I'm pretty sure almost every book out there has been challenged at some point.
Yeah.
But these are some of our banned books that we have talked about. And we want to hear from the listeners. So tell us, listeners, what are some books that we're a band that you really enjoy. Tell us your experiences. And by to do that, you can go to the Facebook group. You can go to the website. You can find me on Twitter. You'll hear all of the information at the end with the Creative Commons license. But thank you to all of my guests for joining me. Tech has one more thing to say.
I have one more thing to say. I want to challenge all of your readers to read a banned book.
Yes.
And read a banned book. See if it doesn't change your life. And at that, challenge the reasons why it was banned inside your own mind. Okay, maybe the depictions of drug and alcohol, or maybe the occult nature of the book. Well, see if that's not there for a reason, and see if it doesn't spark any deeper questions in you. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
And not all banned books are good books. I mean, Lolita and Lady Chatterley's Lover, they bored me all to death, and they were not very good. But, I mean, things like Lolita being banned sparked a whole new book, which was reading Lolita in Taran.
Man.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, yes, read a banned book and see what it does, see how it changes you, and let us know about it. So thank you to my guests. Thank you for joining me. This was fantastic. We could probably talk for another 5 hours, I think.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Please make sure that you visit their website. So Jen and Jason, you guys are from the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. Please pimp yourselves out.
Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, please, after me.
Yeah, after
me. Yes. Damn it. Anyway, so you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/talknerdy. No, nerdy to me. This is why Jason does this. you can find us at the Twitters at...
I got it.
Yeah.
You can always find us on our website at talknerdytomepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdytome. And, of course, you can find us on the Twitter at nerdytomepodcast.
I think Jason just gave me the stink eye.
Maybe
this. And all those twos are the number two.
Exactly.
And, Tech, where can people find you?
You can find my rantings and musings that are now all out of date on nimlast.org. And other than that, I don't know, you can find me on the Twitter at the Clock Doc, or I don't know, normally hanging on to any project you're doing, so I'm the associated hanger on. You'll find me wherever you'll find Nutty.
And in Destiny.
And in Destiny. All right, thank you everyone. It's been awesome. And yes, go out, read a banned book, and tell us about it.
And if you can make it through Moby Dick, let me know.
Yes. Yes, if you make it through Moby Dick, you win one up on Jason.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Adios.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, this is Jamie.
And this is Bill, and we are the Mr. Throwback Thursday podcast.
Do you remember when the wheels were steel and the beats were real?
We do, and we talk about it every Thursday.
You can check out Woo News, One and Done, Record of the Week, and a whole lot more.
That's Mr. Throwback Thursday, keeping it classic on iTunes, Stitcher, and at highvoltageradio.com.
And always remember, new school stale, old school trash.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlast Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlaststudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlast.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.